the prayer of faith touches the hand of our God, does it not? I mean, our God, that's the only thing in the world that pleases Him is faith. Now, there's a lot of people out there today that say they're Christians. And I want us to look at something that... I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and start with verse 1. And I want us to look in 2 Corinthians 5, 1. I want to look at some things here. Several of us, as I've studied these things this week, I think about the number of people that said something to me already today that fits right in with this message. I thought, wow, Lord, this is awesome. As they would say something, I just stand in awe at the people that have no idea what they have to do to get saved. And people tell us things that we don't have to do to get saved, and all kinds of things. And, you know, how many of you have ever heard, well, if you come in and confess all your sins before the Lord, He'll save you. You ever heard that? Yeah, you've heard that, right? But how many of you know that's not what the Bible says? The Bible does not say you have to confess your sin to get saved. The Bible says all you have to do is come and believe in Jesus. When you believe in Jesus, He forgives you, washes away all your sins. Here's something. I let a guy, a pretty mean guy out at DFW Airport years ago, I don't even know how many, it's got to be at least 30 or at least maybe 35 years ago. The guys had taken a break and we were building a new building out there. And they were all sitting around drinking some water, and everything was kind of warm. And as we were drinking water, I'm asking the guys, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, some of them did, some of them didn't. And I'd ask them, well, if they didn't, I'd say, why not? And I remember this one guy I got to, he says, well, you know, I'm too mean. You know, even God couldn't save me. I said, let me ask you a question. If I could tell you and prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that it makes no difference how mean or how wicked you are at this point, God is not even holding your sins against you, could you believe then that He could save you? In other words, if He looks at you, He looks at you right now like you're a clean, perfect individual. He said, but God don't look at me like that. I said, yes, He does. I said, that's the way He sees you right now. He is not holding your sins against you at this point. So I said, that's why all you got to do is just say, Jesus, I want you. I said, He will save you. And then He'll clean you up. And He'll wash you in His blood. And you'll be a perfect individual. Clean and white and pure. And I said, all you got to do now is get in the Word and start doing what it says. And then if you ever mess up after that, which I said you're not supposed to, but if you do, I said, you'll be human like the rest of us. If you mess up after that, all you got to do is use 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin. See, we don't have to confess our sin until we get saved. And after we get saved, then if we have a shortcoming, Tom, then we have to go to the Lord and ask Him to forgive that sin, do we not? But until that point, it's amazing this plan of reconciliation that's been given to us, and we don't use it. We don't use it. You know, we don't know it. We don't use it. And that's really, really detrimental to all of us and to the people that are lost. Because the people that are lost, they need to know how to come to Christ. Let me ask you this simple question in here. How many of you today in here know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know you have. Okay, good. That's most of you. Now then, if there was anybody that couldn't hold up your hand, you got to realize that Jesus is standing there waiting with His arms open saying, come to Me. Now then, let's go through these scriptures and let's look and see here. This is the King James. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How many of you know that as born-again Christians, that it makes no difference what happens to us on this earth, if we die, we win. We win. We have an eternal home in heaven that we're going to be free. And I just stand in awe at the number of people that really don't know that. What happens to me when I die? Well, hey, it's all over the book. You know, just read the book and you find out right here is one of those places. We have an eternal home, you know, in heaven. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now, when Joseph might get to heaven one day, we won't have no more back trouble, will we, Joseph? We're not going to have to be concerned about mistreating our granddaughter, you know, or whatever. Now, how many of you know that some of the young people today, it's really not that hard to get into a discussion with some of the young people today? You know, I mean, it's kind of easy to get into sin with them, isn't it? You know, kind of tell them how the cow eat the cabbage, you know, especially when they come against you. The children today have not been taught. So many children today, even children in Christian homes, have not been taught respect. You know, they've not been taught. You know, just like I think about a scripture we talked about pretty in depth last night a little while. Children, obey your parents in all things. That it may go well with you. Now, I mean, we look at that, don't think about that it means well. Healthy. In other words, people don't realize that, well, who's that guy over there? Ah, that old man, that's my old man. You mean that's your dad? Ah, yeah, but you know the old man, he don't know nothing, you know. He's 50 years old, you know, or he's 40 years old, he's ancient, you know, and I'm just 18. The old man don't know nothing. Now, you know, that's not respecting your parents. And then those children that do that have no idea why they get sick. And why life doesn't go well with them. And then he didn't stop with just that it shall go well with you, did he? He said, so that you may have long life. So if you're talking about the old man and not showing him respect, not only are you going to be sick, but all of a sudden, at 45 years old yourself, you drop dead with a heart attack. You should have lived 80 or 90 years. But you had no respect for your parents. But people don't seem to put this together, do they? Isn't that a shame? You know, you got three brothers together in a home, and two of them showed the ultimate respect for mom and dad. And man, they're 60, 70, 80 years old, 90 years old, and you sit down and talk with these men and say, what do you contribute your long life to? And every time I say this, it reminds me of a story of two men sitting on the corner of a little old town on the little bench there, and both of them were gray-headed and beard, you know, and you know, looked ancient. One of the men says, sir, what do you contribute your long life to? He says, walking with the Lord, serving Him every day of my life, reading His Word, walking in love, loving God with all my heart, soul, and spirit, and my neighbor as myself. He said, wow. He said, how old are you? The old guy's still in pretty good shape, pretty healthy. He said, I'm only 98. And here's the other guy sitting beside him. He said, sir, what do you contribute your long life to? He said, raising hell and going out and sleeping with a different woman every night and drinking a fifth of whiskey every day. He said, wow, how old are you? He said, 24. Now they look the same. Y'all see where I'm coming from? The 24-year-old, he thought he had a long life. He was doing everything wrong, and it made him look like he was 98. But if he's only 24 and he looks like that, he's got a problem, hasn't he? But see, people don't understand that if you want to have a long life and enjoy the promises of God, you have to obey the promises of God. And when you obey the promises of God, just like you, you know, you didn't realize that that person that was getting under your skin at work was going to bring all these bumps all over your body. But when you repented, oh, my goodness, yes, repented and one simple prayer, and what happened? They all went away. Now, isn't God amazing? Isn't He wonderful? He's awesome. You know, I mean, when we have unforgiveness, you know, we don't realize that unforgiveness will bring like a stroke. But unforgiveness will bring many things. And, you know, the problem with the healing ministry in church is that people are not taught these things. They just think that sickness is just something that just happens to people at certain times. And then if you can find a church that'll pray for you for healing, you know, they come down and they pray for you. And just like Joseph told us that little church where he goes over, that cowboy church, the pastor, I mean, can you imagine you coming to me and say, I'm in excruciating pain in my back, and would you pray for me? And I said, well, we're going to have a deacon's meeting in 3.5 weeks. I'll talk to the deacons, and if you can show up, well, we'll pray for you three. Can you imagine me doing that to you?
No.
I mean, when we have a healing school, and after I've taught the Word of God for 4 or 5 hours from 1 o'clock till 5 or 6 o'clock, and then there's 40 or 50 or 60 of you sitting here waiting to be prayed for, and it's 11, 12, it has been as late as 1 o'clock in the morning. How many of you ever seen me leave before the last person left? I never. I don't care if I'm here at 1 o'clock in the morning. Everybody is prayed for. We look at their life, get their sins repented of, and pray the prayer of faith for you. We don't go home till that's done, do we, Tom? We pray the prayer of faith, and we don't want you to be in pain, because I don't believe Jesus would ever have done you like that. I don't believe Jesus would ever say, well, come back in 3 weeks, and we'll see if we can pray for you. Just like Joseph said, I don't believe that at all. I mean, that's not our Jesus. Verse 3 and 4, let's go on here. It says, so if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. I'm going to tell you, in this body, unfortunately, in this piece of flesh you live in, there's going to be pains and problems. Why? Because of sin. I haven't met anybody that can walk sinless every day of their life. Now, I've seen a lot of men that walked without sin most of their life. Very little sin. In fact, when it comes down to being a Christian, technically speaking, the Word of God says we are to be exactly like Jesus and there is to be no sin in our life. Our practice in life as sons and daughters of God is to be no sin. I think about when Cheryl and I was over in Atlanta, there was another young man. He was sitting there in a wheelchair with 1 foot up on the little arm. And I told him, I said, you know, as we're teaching, I said, son, what do you think might have caused your problem? He said, I have no idea. I said, can you think of any sin you might have committed that would have opened the door for this event to happen to you in your life? Those that are righteous, that walk totally holy, will never have a broken bone.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Long Life is Available Through Obedience, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and post-paid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. Again, www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.